Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. It's Monday, it's 11 o'clock, it's the 1st of October 2018, and I hope you've all had a great weekend. We have a great show ahead of you this morning. In a few moments, I'm going to be having a chat with you about diet drinks and some of the interesting dangers surrounding artificially sweetened drinks that many people drink because they think it's going to help them to lose weight. So we're going to talk about those for about 10 minutes in a moment or so. I have a special guest on with me this morning. I have Sarah Taylor. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Neil. Thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. And we're going to find out more about what Sarah does in about 15, 20 minutes or so. And it's a very, Sarah has a very interesting and very inspirational story to tell us. So we'll find out more about that in about 20 minutes. And then I've got a few hints and tips about how to improve your sleep quality. Now, depending on time, I may do some this week and some next week, because there's actually 17 tips I've got to improve sleep. But if you do suffer with insomnia or you do suffer with poor sleep quality or quantity, you might find some of the hints that I'll give you towards the end of the show quite useful. So a quick disclaimer before we start. The purpose of the Health Matters radio show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate and inform you in ways to improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaged in providing medical advice and the content in the show should not be treated as such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist first. All content is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research on the topics we discuss. And the Health Matters radio show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience, and offer my opinion. And I specifically disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. As usual, if you'd like to get in contact with the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. Drop me a tweet, say hi. If you'd like a shout out, I'm happy to do that for you, or just to ask a question. If you'd like to find the show's Facebook page, go to Facebook and search The Health Matters Radio Show. You can listen again to this show and all the previous shows on the media page of my website, and you can find the show's podcast on iTunes. And if you'd like to get in touch with me personally, my website address is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. So, diet drinks, are they good for you? Artificial sweeteners. Well, we covered artificial sweeteners a couple of shows ago, so we're not going to go into too much detail about the different types of artificial sweeteners and the dangers surrounding those. But we're going to talk for a moment about diet drinks. So we're kind of in this society where we think that diet drinks generally are good for us because they're sugar-free. They often come packaged in pretty green cans and bottles. And when you take a glance at the traffic light system on the can, it's all green. So therefore, we're told if it's green, then it's good to go. It must be healthy. But actually, there's more to that story than meets the eye. So there's been a number of research papers, particularly over the last 10 years, about the dangers of artificial sweeteners and how diet drinks that use sweeteners like sucralose and particularly aspartame and saccharin and the sulfamide K, they are now contributing to things like heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, metabolic syndrome, and they can increase blood pressure. And also, and this is the real counterintuitive thing, there's a lot of research that's shown that diet drinks, even though they have no calories, actually contribute to weight gain, which is quite a shock for most people. But actually, there's a lot of research that have said that diet drinks do contribute to weight gain. And we're not going to name any particular brands during this piece, but obviously you can do your own research. If you do drink diet drinks, you can look into this yourself. So let's have a look at what these drinks do to the body in the first hour of drinking them. So in the first 10 minutes, artificial sweeteners, they trick your taste buds into thinking you're going to get something sweet. And generally, when something's sweet, it has calories attached to it. So your body sets itself up for the process of dealing with sugar. But there is no sugar there. So you're starting to trick your body into thinking it's about to have a sugar hit when in fact there is no sugar. So all the processes that get put into place to actually deal physically with sugar still happen, but you trick your body because there is nothing sweet there. Also, the phosphoric acid, it attacks the enamel in your teeth. So that can be quite damaging as well. And as I mentioned, particularly aspartame, it triggers those taste receptors to making your body think it's going to have a big dose of sugar. The problem there is that you confuse that pathway between your taste buds and your brain. So when you trick it into thinking it's having something sweet and it's not actually physically got sugar, it can then make you crave sugar even more because you've just tricked your body. And actually, the amount of people I see that would drink a can of diet drink, and we've been really careful not to name a brand here, but they'll drink a can of diet drink and then they'll have some chocolate because they are craving the sugar. And that's one of the problems is, you know, if you trick your body still wants that sugar hit. So that happens in the first 10 minutes. In the first 20 minutes, as I mentioned, you have these triggers, these processes that the body puts into place to deal with sugar, which includes the pancreas producing insulin. In the same way as if you'd consume sugar, your body thinks it's got sugar, even when you have sweetness. So the problem with insulin is if you overwork your pancreas, if you produce too much insulin on a regular basis, you can end up with insulin resistance. And obviously, that's the fast track to type 2 diabetes. The other side of that is, even if you drink a diet drink, because your body's producing insulin, it goes into fat storage mode. Insulin is known as the fat storage hormone. Yes, it allows the body cells to unlock to accept glucose from the blood. But any glucose, any sugar that's there that the body doesn't want to use, it would actually put it into your fat cells. So even though there's no physical sugar in those drinks, the body still produces insulin as if there was sugar there. And again, type 2 diabetes is a big issue, high blood pressure. It can put a lot of pressure on the cardiovascular system. That can lead to things like heart disease and also metabolic syndrome as well. After 40 minutes, the addictiveness of the caffeine and particularly the aspartame kicks in. And actually, it's quite a dangerous combination because caffeine is quite addictive and aspartame is quite addictive. And when you put the two together, it's actually, in some research papers, have suggested it's, in the short term, it can be as addictive as cocaine. And one of the problems there is when you have one can, you often will overdrink, partly because you fooled yourself into thinking that it's good because it's all green on the traffic light system. You also think it's good because there's no sugar in it and therefore there's no calories in it. And then that's combined with the addictiveness of the actual ingredients. And I often see people that will drink one can of diet drink and then go on to drink another two or three. Another issue as well is these excitotoxins. These are released when you drink diet drinks with caffeine and aspartame in particular, and they can exhaust your brain by overstimulating its neuroreceptors, especially if you drink these drinks on a regular basis, and they can contribute to exhaustion. And they also release other neurotransmitters. Glutamate is another one, and dopamine is the other. And dopamine is the feel-good hormone. And again, once those hormones get released, you want more of that fix. And therefore, you will tend to drink more as you go on. After 60 minutes, the drinks deplete your nutrients. It makes you feel hungry. It makes you feel thirsty. As I mentioned, if you drink diet drinks, your body may still crave that sugar hit that you've just denied it. So you may be tempted to reach for bars of chocolate or sweet things that, again, are nutrient deficient and actually not good for you. And then that makes you reach for another drink or some other junk food because we want that dopamine hit. We want that sweet taste. And then you continue that cycle. So you need to find ways to break that cycle. So these diet drinks, they provide you with no nourishment. And actually, they can deplete your body of essential minerals. And we'll come on to that in a moment, particularly when we're looking at osteoporosis. And why would you drink a diet drink with no nutritional value and lots of bad things in it when you could simply reach for a glass of water, which would actually quench your thirst and has no calories and is much better for you? And these diet drinks, they don't quench your thirst. They actually contribute to dehydration rather than hydrating your body. And people tend to replace a glass of water with a glass or a can of these diet drinks, and actually they then miss out on proper hydration because they're not drinking the right amount of water. So this mentality of thinking, well, I've just drunk a drink that's got no calories in it, it's got no sugar in it, therefore I'm being good, therefore I can have a cheeseburger, or I can have a bar of chocolate, or therefore I can have a packet of crisps, or therefore I can have some sweets. That's very common. People tend to fool themselves into thinking because there are no calories and no sugar in these drinks that they can offset that and they can eat the things that are unhealthy because they think they've just drunk a drink that's healthy. And that isn't the case. It really isn't the case. Okay, you don't. There's no such thing as a free meal ticket when it comes to these drinks. And like I say, the way they act on the brain, it makes your body crave all these sweet treats. Other dangers include osteoporosis, as we've mentioned, the chemicals that are in these drinks, particularly phosphoric acid, contribute to lower bone mineral density and therefore osteoporosis, particularly in the hips, particularly in women of menopausal and postmenopausal age. It can damage the skin, it can age you, it can make muscles wither, it can cause damage to the heart and actually cause damage to the kidneys in particular. And actually, phosphoric acid has been associated with urinary changes that promote kidney stones. And actually, drinking two or more cans of these drinks per day increases the risk of chronic kidney disease as well. And in addition to that, aspartame has been linked with neurological conditions, and it has been proven in animals to affect brain cells as well. So again, it's actually not good to all these different systems of the body. There's also a danger with aspartame because it's got aspartic acid in it, which is an excitotoxin, that also contributes to free radical damage. And I've covered free radicals in previous shows. These are things that damage the cells of your body, contribute to disease and contribute to premature aging. And also in aspartame, a byproduct of aspartame is methanol. And methanol is a toxic compound that gets converted in the liver to formaldehyde. And formaldehyde is neurotoxic and it's carcinogenic. So again, not good. So the takeaway here is that if you drink these fizzy drinks, then they're not good for you because they're low, because they have no sugar in them and they have no calories. It does not mean that they're healthy. And there are a lot of health implications with these drinks that I would suggest that you look into. Look to replace these with a glass of water, a bottle of water. You can't go wrong with water. Start breaking that addictive cycle with these diet drinks, because they do contribute to diabetes, they do contribute to cardiovascular issues. And if you're drinking these to lose weight, guess what? They contribute to weight gain, not weight loss. So again, please do your research. But I hope you found some interesting information in that piece that will make you think twice if you do drink a lot of these diet drinks. So after the break, we're going to be talking to our special guest, Sarah Taylor, finding out more about what she does. But before that, we have a classic from Dire Straits, and it's Sultans of Swing. You get a shiver in the dark, it's raining in the park, but meantime. Sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie. Double fall time. You feel alright when you hear the music ring. Well, now you step inside, but you don't see too many faces. Coming in out of the rain and
playing strictly rhythm. He doesn't want to make it cry or sing. His tin and old guitar is all he can afford. When he gets up under the lights to play his
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, and that was a classic by Dire Straits. If you'd like to get in touch with the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. Drop me a tweet, say hi, ask a question, or ask for a shout out. If you want to find the show's Facebook page, go to Facebook, search the Health Matters Radio Show, and you can listen again to this show and other shows that I've done on my media page of my website or on iTunes. If you search the Health Matters Radio Show on iTunes, you can find the podcast. And if you'd like to contact me personally, you can find my details via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. Okie dokie. So we're going to go on to our guest interview of the morning. We're going to have a chat with Sarah Taylor. I met Sarah at an event in London a few weeks ago. And she got up to speak, and straight away I felt there was a synergy in the things that I teach and the ethics and ethos that I've got when it comes to health and nutrition and weight management and just general well-being. And I thought it'd be really great to have Sarah on the show. I didn't realise that actually Sarah flies back to Australia tomorrow. So it's really good to be able to get her on the show and just find out more about what she's about, where she's come from, her background, and also what she teaches and how she can help people today and her mission to change the world. So good morning, Sarah. It's great to have you on the show this morning.
Thank you, Neil.
And so let's start at the beginning. Give me a bit of information about your background, where you've come from, your journey, and kind of how you got into doing what you're doing today.
Okay. Well, that's a big, huge question. I'll just start. I'll take it one piece at a time. So let's just go through my background. I mean, it's very ordinary, really. I grew up in Winchester with my three brothers and did all the normal sort of things that the kids do. I was a bit of a tomboy, so I was also climbing trees, playing football, getting into fights at school. You know, I was always into sports, particularly gymnastics and swimming. You know, I went to sort of school, did okay, went to university, did a geography degree, and then a master's in IT, and then went into the IT world. I've always been in a much more of a sort of male-dominated world, I suppose, but I've always felt that being female in IT has been a huge advantage. So there's nothing terribly remarkable about my life until I got to sort of 28, when things changed. I sort of went through a bit of a funny patch, maybe a little bit of a breakdown almost, but I got into trekking. I went to South America and trekked the Inca Trail. And then all of a sudden at 29, I decided I was going to go to Australia. No idea why. Didn't know anyone there. Don't have any relatives there. But I just needed to get away from England. Like I say, I was going through a bit of a tough time. And at that stage, I hadn't done any personal development. So I didn't really know how to deal with this sort of turmoil. Mm-hmm. 6 weeks after making that decision, I arrived in Melbourne with one suitcase of everything I owned in the whole world and a job, and kind of wondered what on earth I'd just done. It turned out to be the best decision I made, because I loved Melbourne. It's the sporting, food and cultural and lifestyle capital of Australia. It doesn't have the beautiful scenery that Sydney does, but it's had to develop other things, and it's very European in that respect. Yeah. So I soon settled in, made a life, got into a long-term relationship, and just sort of, you know, work, played, travels, all the kind of normal stuff until I hit 40. Right. And that's where things changed. And that's really the trigger for me becoming what I am now, which is 16 times world bodybuilding champion, a nutrition expert, and a transformational weight loss coach. So how did I get into all of that? Well, like I say, at 40, my life really sort of fell apart when my relationship ended. And I just sort of felt very lost, alone, and directionless, a bit unloved, and really a little bit unlovable. Mm-hmm. And I needed something to give me some direction. So I decided to climb Mount Aconcagua, which is the highest mountain in South America. And this was a goal I'd actually set myself to do by the age of 40. So when I was doing the earlier trekking, I decided that at 40, I would climb the highest mountain in South America because I love it. Well, I was 40, so there was no time like the present. But I knew I wasn't quite as fit as I needed to be to do the climb. So I joined a gym and I had a fitness assessment.
Okay.
And it was a disaster. 159 centimetres, or 5'2". Mm-hmm. I was 78 kilograms and 36% body fat. I was clinically obese. And when the gym instructor told me this, it just hit me like an absolute train. It just utterly crushed my already fragile sense of self-confidence and who I was, you see, because I'd always been sporty and active my whole life. And at the time, indeed, I was cycling everywhere, as I don't have a car. I was playing tennis and badminton for about 4 hours a week, you know. So I was a fit person, and my whole sense of self revolved around being the sporty person. So I was really sort of embarrassed, ashamed, guilty, and actually angry at myself. How would I let myself get to this stage? And that really triggered something in me. And I made the decision that if I didn't have my health, I had nothing. And I vowed that health from then on would be my absolute number one non-negotiable value. And I set about changing things. So I readjusted my goal to climb Mount Kilimanjaro instead. and I hit the gym to get my fitness to a level that I thought I would need to do that climb instead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And another thing I did is I really started paying attention to who I was and what I did around food. Now, let me be very clear here. I considered that I did not diet. I didn't cut foods out. I didn't count calories. I didn't track things. All I did is I noticed if foods made me feel heavy or tired or bloated,
yep,
or felt a bit fat.
Mm-hmm.
And I just moved away from them. I just sort of had less of them. I also noticed if foods made me feel light and energetic, and I had more of those. Now, like I say, I didn't even stop going out with beers on a Friday night with the girls. You know, I still did that.
Yeah.
But I just gradually felt my way to what made me feel light and energetic. And I also started paying attention to the times of day that I naturally felt more hungry. And it turns out that it was earlier in the day. Now, with my previous partner, he'd been in the wine trade. So we kept to his schedule. So he'd finish late at night. We'd always have a big meal with, mm-hmm, some very delicious wine. So it was just a kind of lifestyle that didn't suit my body. So once I'd reverted to my natural body clock and towards foods that naturally seemed to work better for my body, I just felt better and more energetic in myself. And nothing really happened for about 8 weeks. But then it was like my body just got it. All of a sudden, the weight started coming off. And it came off at about 0.5 kilo, 0.25 kilo, sort of pretty much every week.
Mm-hmm.
Until at 41, in the best shape of my life, when I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, I'd lost 25 kilograms.
Wow.
Now, let me be clear here as well. This whole thing has never been about losing weight. That 25 kilograms came about as a happy accident of sort of changing my lifestyle and paying attention to what worked for me.
So the focus was being healthier.
The focus for me was about being the fit person.
Feeling better
that
and
was,
being fit.
That,
yeah,
was my whole sense of identity. And if I wasn't the fit person, I actually just didn't know who I was. Mm. So I had to get that back. I needed to be the fit person. So that's what my whole journey's been about. However, having focused so intently on getting my fitness back, I'd neglected all other aspects of my life and it really just fell apart. And within a bizarre 6 week period, just some very stressful and distressing events all happened. And then when I ended up at the doctor's with a lump under my armpit, I completely broke down and was diagnosed with depression.
Yeah.
And the problem with this was the first thing the doctor did, of course, was prescribe me antidepressants and sleeping pills and sent me to a psychologist. And this again really sort of cut me to the core of who I was, because again, mental health is just as much part of health as is physical health.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that really I'd got myself into this position because of the choices I'd been making. And I made the decision again that, you know, because mental health is part of health and I'd got myself into that situation, then if anyone who was going to fix it, it would be me. But I knew I needed help. Anyone else who's going through depression, you're probably dealing with a lot of noise in your head, voices in your head, overwhelm. It's a very dark place and it's a very difficult place. So I knew I needed help and I needed something positive to focus on. And the only thing that was going right in my life at that time, ironically enough, was the thing that got me into that mess in the first place, which was my fitness. So I hired a personal trainer.
Okay.
And again, best thing I'd ever done. Within weeks, I was getting even better results. And within 4 months, I'd totally turned my life around and decided to reward myself with a photo shoot at the age of 42, because I was in the best shape of my life at 42. And at the photo shoot, the photographer asked me if I was doing a show. And I was like, what on earth do you mean by a show? And she said, the bodybuilding show. So I was like, oh, gosh, no. But I went along to the show. And I freaked out completely of all these ginormous, huge, chocolate brown, muscly women in sparkly bikinis and stripper heels. And I broke out in this rash all over my body, literally covered head to toe in these little red dots. But then at the next day at training, something had obviously lodged in my brain, because I said to my trainer, I said, you know what, I went along to the show. He said, what show? I said, well, the bodybuilding show. So I said, do you think I could do that? Anyway, once he stopped jumping around the gym in complete joy, turns out he'd been wanting me to do this for ages, he said, yes, of course you can. So I said, great, we've got 10 weeks. 10 weeks later, I won the state novice figure title.
Wow.
First go. So yeah, it was just a complete accident that I got into the bodybuilding. But then again, having decided to really give this a go and see where I could take it, again, life had other ideas, and I'd I'd always had ongoing injuries with my shoulders and my elbows, probably for about 4 or 5 years. And at this, by this stage, getting into the bodybuilding, it was getting to the point where I could barely even lift a cup because my elbows were completely torn and my shoulders were completely ruined. Just getting dressed was difficult. So I had some scans and they revealed both shoulders were completely destroyed. So double shoulder surgery was the only option, which I took. And then within about 3 months, the rest of my body had completely fallen apart as well. I had torn tendons in both legs. I had frayed cartilage in my knees, frayed cartilage in my hips,
wow,
osteoarthritis in my hips, and both elbow tendons in both elbows were torn again.
So you were 42,
43 this time.
Right, okay.
And, you know, I sort of sat on the wall with my trainer in tears, again, telling him that I had to quit all forms of sports this time because the doctors basically said to me, look, if you don't stop everything, you'll be in a wheelchair in 6 months. So, again, I was devastated.
Wow. That must have been such a shock.
Well, you know, it threatened my whole identity of being the fit person.
Yeah.
Who was I if I couldn't do sport and activity? Mm. I just didn't know again. And this is where my trainer was instrumental. He actually said to me these exact words. He said, Sarah, you've got the size, you've got the shape, you sure as hell have the mental toughness. If we can get your troublesome body right, I will make you world champion. Now, I was blown away. Nobody in their right mind, not a 28-year-old guy, would stick their neck out, risk their entire professional reputation on this broken-down 43-year-old and say they will make them world champion in the world's toughest sport. So after I picked myself off the floor in absolute shock, I just said, okay, let's do it. So, and that really from there, the rest is history. I had a year of rehab, a year coming back, and then at age 45, I went to the States and Canada and won 11 amateur world titles. And at age 48, I've won another 5 professional world titles. So I'm now 16 times world bodybuilding champion.
Wow. Wow, what a story.
and
you know, the really interesting thing there is that, you know, you were given advice by so-called professionals at various stages during that journey. At times when you had the depression, obviously they were keen to put you on medication, which,
yeah,
again, for most people that are out there that do struggle with depression, that's the kind of the route that that doctors take you down. And then the advice to actually stop activity.
Yes.
And your life would have been very, very different at that point had you followed either the advice to take the antidepressants or the advice to stop the activity. And
absolutely.
As you said, you would have lost that. You would have lost yourself, I think.
I would have done. I mean, particularly with the depression, like the reason that it was so horrified me is I actually had a friend who'd gone through depression as well, and I'd seen the effect of the antidepressants on them, and I just determined that wasn't going to be my route, and I would do whatever it took to find a natural, holistic, alternative way of healing myself. And I did, and fortunately by that time I had done some personal development, so I did have a lot more sort of mental skills at my disposal than I think a lot of people do have. So I was able to to some extent architect my own solution. But the key decision was there is that I didn't want to be medicated because I'd seen that really it was just a band-aid solution. You know, you're addressing a symptom.
The symptom, not the
root cause of the problem.
Mm.
And it was the same thing with all of the rehab. Again, I determined that I could be fixed. And I literally did. I literally had to learn how to stand on my feet. You know, I did 6 months of clinical Pilates and I literally had to learn how to stand on my feet, how to put the pressure on my big toe, on the big toe joint, on the bridges of my foot. Literally, I had to learn how to stand, you know, and we didn't bodybuild at that stage. We rebuilt my body from the ground up.
Yeah.
And as a result, I've been bulletproof ever since. I've been uninjured ever since. And it was the best thing I could do.
And I think having that mental toughness,
that's very, very critical.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was, I mean, my trainer said to me, he said, there's no way he would have said what he said to anybody else other than me because he knew I had the mental toughness. And it has been tough. I mean, it's the toughest sport in the world, bodybuilding. Mm. It really does require a huge amount of discipline.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have said that if it hadn't been me. But that's been very critical. But one thing I do want to say to people is there are always choices. So if you hear something that you don't like, look around because there are choices, you know. And I was determined that I would find those alternatives and find a natural way of healing myself.
Yeah. And I think it's also the realization that there are no genuine quick fixes.
Oh gosh, absolutely not. I mean, it took me 7 years to put on this extra 30 kilograms that I had. It took me 9 months to take it off.
Mm.
Slowly and gradually by changing my lifestyle.
Yes.
Like I say, I changed things one habit at a time and paid attention. Like I say, if I felt that a food made me feel sluggish or tired, I'd move away from it. Like I say, I didn't cut things out. There was no sort of extreme actions. It was all a gradual feeling.
Yeah.
My way to health, I suppose.
And the thing is, I think today people are so focused, if they're carrying too much weight, they're so focused on losing the weight.
Yes.
Often at the expense of their health in some cases. Yes. But the focus is just on the weight.
Yes.
If you switch that around as you did and say, well, actually, I want to feel healthier. Mm-hmm. I want to feel better. I want more energy.
Yeah.
If you start to eat properly, then and finding the foods that are good for your body, because everyone's different, then actually once you start to eat the right things and you start to feel healthier and more energetic and you sleep better et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
Then the interesting side effect, as you mentioned, was the fact that you lose...
I lost the weight.
..the weight.
That's it. And this is what I teach. I teach habit-based, what I call habit-based interventions. And this is a growing paradigm shift in, I guess, the health and weight loss industry. I'm a precision nutrition coach. I'm also a Sun Sanos coach. And these are both groups who work with people to change habits at the micro level, because 45% of what you do on a daily basis is unconscious.
Mm.
So 45% of your behaviors and therefore your habits are unconscious. Now, if those unconscious behaviors and habits are not aligned in a healthy direction, it doesn't necessarily matter what diet you go on.
Mm.
Eventually, willpower is going to fail and you're going to revert to
what
you've been doing before and therefore consequently get the same results that you were getting before.
Yeah.
So by making health my number one value and making it actually absolutely non-negotiable, I aligned all of my unconscious behaviors and habits with health. But like I say, losing the weight was never, ever part of my journey. It was about establishing myself as my identity as being fit person. I needed to be the fit person.
Yeah.
I needed to be able to go and climb that mountain. And that's what it was about.
Wow.
And all the rest of it has been a very, 60-time world bodybuilding champion.
It's very, very impressive.
It's a happy accident because of that.
Very impressive. We're going to take a quick music break now, but we are going to come back and we're going to carry on with Sarah. We're going to find out more about her journey and what she does now. But to take us into a quick break, we've got Classic by the Rolling Stones, and we'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, and my special guest on this morning, Sarah Taylor. Quick mention of the show's Twitter feed. If you'd like to find the show on Twitter, at Health Radio Show, and on Facebook, it's the Health Matters Radio Show. Then we're going to continue with Sarah's story. And I'm sure you found it very inspirational so far, that, you know, where she came from to where she's gone to and where she plans to go in the future. Very exciting times for her. We mentioned, obviously, Sarah's journey so far and her journey that took her to 16 times bodybuilding champion. But the obstacles that she faced along the way and the self-determination that she had to actually deal with those obstacles and actually continuing to push forwards, as I'm sure she will do for many years to come. So we mentioned about, as I say, about Sarah becoming world champion. But Sarah, tell me a bit more about your friend who was the Hawaiian Ironman and where that connection between bodybuilding and obviously nutrition and diet came in.
Okay, yes. When I was going through the sort of the rehab, and I'd just been told by the doctors that was it, pull the plug, don't do anything ever again kind of thing. This friend of mine who is a triple Hawaiian Ironman, he basically said to me, look, Sarah, if you can't be in your sport, become a student of your sport. Mm-hmm. And that struck me as very, very sound advice. And that's exactly what I did. And with bodybuilding, the key to it really is the diet part of it, is the nutrition part of it. I'd always had a fascination with food as medicine in a small way, because I'm a full-blown celiac and I'd had eczema my whole life. And I figured that if cheese was a bit of a trigger of mine, of my eczema, but if I had avocado or tuna with it, it would sort of alleviate that. So I was sort of aware of sort of food could be your medicine as well as sort of, you know, for a tool to achieve a goal. Mm. So during my year of rehab, I really delved into the diet and nutrition side of things. You know, I hit the books, I hit the internet, college courses in a big way. But what I did, which I think has really given me the most experience and the most knowledge, is the fact that I used myself as a lab rat. Mm. I pretty much tried most of the popular fad diets or eating methodologies out there that you can think of. I mean, I've done the body type, the blood type, the metabolic type, the anabolic diet. I've done keto, all three variations of them.
There's so many low carb,
high fat. Mm. You can pretty much think of any diet you can pick off a shelf, and I had a go at it. Yeah. But what I did is, in between each of the sort of experiments, is I would revert to this very habitual way of eating that I developed when I did the weight loss. And actually, I should say that when I was going through the depression, one of the things that allowed me to keep the weight off when I go through the depression was these habits that I'd formed during the weight loss. And I really refined these habits to keep the weight off, A, through the depression, and also through the rebuilding of my body, because I couldn't do any exercise at all, but yet I was able to keep my weight down to within 2 kilograms of my stage weight. Now, on stage weight, you're actually at your lightest because you've got no body fat on you. Mm. So to keep my weight within 2 kilograms of that stage weight with no exercise whatsoever, just through these habitual eating methods was really, really very educational for me. And that's why I've become such a, I guess, an expert in nutrition and the use of food as a tool to do a job.
Mm. And there is a common theme, if you listen back to previous shows, there is a common theme with all my guests, is the journey that they've been on personally has taken them to where they are at that particular time. Yep. And they're using their personal experience and their life experience to then take that into the market and help other people to do the same thing.
Yes, correct.
And you can see the way that your journey has developed to where you are now, and now you're actually helping people that want to go through a similar journey, particularly with just feeling healthier and happier.
Yes, that's right.
You're helping those people now. So let's fast forward to where we are now. The services that you provide, how do they particularly help people themselves?
Well, what I provide is, like I say, I provide habit-based intervention and transformational weight loss services. So what that means is I work with people to identify what their goal is primarily, and I usually advise them to make it not necessarily focused on the weight, but something bigger. So, for example, it might be, if you're an older person, it might be that you want to see your kids graduate college. You might want to be around to see your grandkids and be able to play with your grandkids. You know, for your mums, it might be wanting to be able to play with your kids. Same thing for dads. You might want to be able to play with your kids. Find something that's more meaningful than just a number on the scale.
The reason why.
That's right. You've got to have a bigger why. Like I say, mine was for becoming the fit person. So you need to find a bigger reason why for just being healthy, because once you're aligned with health in your whole sort of physical being, the rest of it becomes much easier.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, so with your current services, obviously you've got a range of different clients and we can't talk about them individually and personally, but what type of successes have you had with some of the clients that you've been working with?
Well, generally what I do with a lot of people is I help them with their sort of gut health, because the science and the research behind, you know, gut health and overall health is so intrinsically linked now.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
one of the first places I start. Mm-hmm. And I've had people lose sort of between 1.5 and 2.5 kilos in 3 days, just through reduction of inflammation, really, and helping with their gut health. I also ran a menopause program, which was just, again, through nutrition. And I had one lady reduce her anxiety levels by over 80%, allowing her to sleep better and consistently lose weight, again, through the reduction of stress and inflammation. You know, I've regularly work with clients who lose 10 kilograms of more or more. And then because of my background, they actually then want to go on and compete.
Mm.
And a lot of them want to do that, particularly the women, because they want to show their kids. They want to be role models for their kids.
Yeah.
And actually, within the bodybuilding world, there's an increasing, I guess, recognition of mums who've lost a lot of weight and transformational weight loss journeys, and people are being able to get onto stage. You know, there are categories specifically for mums now.
Yeah.
So I guess my sort of industry is actually encouraging people to get on stage and make that journey and become a role model for their families as well.
Fantastic. So what are your plans for the coming year or going into the remainder of 2018 into 2019?
Look, I'm looking to take on at least 50 new clients with my new 12-month habit-based intervention program that will help people achieve their ideal weight by ending that yo-yo dieting cycle that often sees people sort of lose a bit of weight and then put a bit more on for good measure. So I really want to help people see that you can have health for the whole of your life without dieting.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my overall big, hairy, audacious goal is to end the world global obesity epidemic. Hashtag no obesity is what a friend told me, which I love. I also want to get out there speaking more about habit-based interventions and changing your lifestyle one little thing at a time.
Yeah.
And this could be as simple as just getting up in the morning and putting your runners on. That could be your habit change. And what I find is when people do that, they spontaneously then want to go for a walk. All of a sudden, they're spontaneously becoming an exerciser where they potentially weren't before. This is the sort of thing that habits can, you know, the power of habits, you know, and it doesn't have to be, like I say, it doesn't have to be about dieting. Another habit that we might do is look at eating much more slowly rather than gobbling down your food. Because, again, studies show that if you gobble your food, you're just going to consume more calories.
Yeah. Fantastic. So your ideal client would be someone that's a female, 40 plus?
Yes, pretty much female, 40 plus. People who've got a sort of history with trying to lose weight but then putting it back on again, who've tried all the diets out there sort of thing, but they're struggling to maintain that weight loss. So this is I want to work with people in a different way.
Yeah.
So if you've got experience of losing weight and you're actually an expert at losing weight because you've done it 3 or 4 times, but then it's also come back on.
Yeah.
If you're ready for a different way of trying to get this weight off once and for all, then that's my ideal person.
Fantastic. So if people want to get in touch with you, what's the first step? What are your contact details, Sarah?
Unfortunately, I don't have a website, but on LinkedIn, I am Sarah Taylor, Diet and Nutrition Coach. And
okay.
Then on Facebook, Sarah Taylor, The Champion Lifestyle is the best way to just message me.
Fantastic. And I'll put Sarah's details up on the show's Facebook page a bit later. And if you'd like to get in contact with Sarah, I'm sure she'll be happy to have a chat with you. I think you mentioned that you do a 30-minute strategy call, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Get to know people a bit better.
A free 30-minute strategy call where we identify any hidden challenges that may be holding you back. Then we'll create an action plan to move forward so you feel energized and empowered to create your future just the way you would like it to be.
Thank you. Inspirational. It's been fantastic to hear more about your story, and thank you so much for coming on the show this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Time has caught up with us, so I'm going to quickly wrap up the show now. Just a quick reminder of my my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, and the show's Facebook page, The Health Matters Radio Show. Please listen again to this show and previous shows on the media page of my website, and you can find all the shows on the show's iTunes podcast. After the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. But to take us into that break, we have one last song from Meatloaf, and it's Dead Ringer for Love. So until next Monday, have a great week. Stay happy, stay healthy. Thank you again, Sarah, for coming on the show. It's been great to have you on this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And have a great week, and I'll catch you next week.